As we are standing in God's presence, I want us to turn as we're continuing in our series called Transformed, My Life in God's Kingdom. My desire is that our lives will be transformed. Many times, even after listening to sermons, even after many prayer meetings, even after even fasting prayer for 21 days, sometimes there is no change. There is no change tragically in our lives. The Lord wants us to be transformed. The Lord wants our minds to be transformed. The renewing of your mind, the transformation. And today I want to speak on the topic called Transformed in My Prayer. As you all know, I've been speaking on the topic called prayer for more than 3 weeks, like 15 days I have spoken at length on the subject of prayer. But today I want to again go back into that subject. Can you all open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, and we will read verses 9 to 15. This is one of the most important prayers in the Bible because it is a prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us. We see many prayers in the Bible, but none so important, because this was Jesus told us not only how to pray, not only when to pray or where to pray, but he told us how to pray. And he told us kind of a broader perspective about prayer, and that is what we are going to read today. This is called the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer, or it's even called the Model Prayer. We have different ways of naming this, but this is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And we are going to look into this prayer. I know we have already gone into this topic at length before, but every time I look into this, there is something new that God gives us. So I hope we can learn something through prayer. And I hope that when we understand the way we should pray for, and when we pray the way God wants us to pray, our lives get transformed. So let me go into this Matthew chapter 6 verses 9 to 15. I'm going to read in my Bible, which is the New King James Version. You follow in whichever language and whichever Bible that you have. Verse number 9, Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. And this is what he says: in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In connection to the prayer, Jesus spoke thus in verse number 14 and 15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Shall we close our eyes, look to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, this beautiful hour that you have brought us again before your word. Over the last 3 weeks, you are talking to us about prayer. But we again come to you, Father. As the disciple says, Lord, teach us to pray. We do not know how to pray, Lord, because we do not know your thoughts and we do not know your ways. We do not know much of your plans and we do not know your mind. But when we can pray the way that you want us to pray, Lord, we can at least get connected to you and know that we are asking the right thing, Father. Many times, Lord, we ask the wrong things from you. Help us to know, Father, Lord, about our prayer life. These days, I pray that you strengthen us to pray. Lord, let our prayers be not like the hypocrites who just pray for the sake of praying, but let our prayers be from our heart. I pray that you teach each and every one of us this morning. Bless us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated in God's presence. Such a wonderful thing to be in God's presence, and I hope that today will be a blessing. And for a brief moment, let us look to what God has to speak to us. Before I get started, I was thinking about a story that I came to know, which I want to bring before you. How many of the children like stories? Let me hear that. Let me see that. Okay, not really children, bigger people too. Wonderful. I love that. Me too. I love a good story. Especially if it's a testimony, if it's a story of a testimony. I'm going to read out a testimony of a doctor who worked in Africa. It's a very, very something I want you all to pay attention and listen to me. This is a true testimony
written by a doctor who was in Africa. And this is in his own words. This is his writing, and I'm going to read out his testimony. And everybody, please pay attention here. This is what the doctor writes. One night I was working hard to help a mother in the labor ward, but in spite of all that we could do, she died, leaving us with a tiny premature baby and a crying 2-year-old daughter. We would have difficulty keeping the baby alive as we had no incubator because we did not have electricity to run an incubator. We also had no special feeding facilities. Although we live on the equator, nights are often chilly with treacherous drafts. One student midwife went for the box we had for such babies and the cotton wool that the baby would be wrapped in. Another went to stoke up the fire and fill a hot water bottle. She came back shortly in distress to tell me that in filling the bottle, it had burst, because we know that rubber perishes easily in tropical climates. And it was our last hot water bottle, she exclaimed. As in the West, it's no good crying over spilled milk. So in Central Africa, it might be considered no good crying over burst water bottles. They do not grow on trees, and there are no drug stores down the forest pathways. All right, I said, put the baby near the fire as safely as you can, and sleep between the baby and the door to keep it free from drafts. Your job is to keep the baby warm. The following noon, as I did most days, I went to have prayers with any of the orphanage children who chose to gather with me. I gave the youngsters various suggestions of things to pray about and told them about the tiny baby. I explained our problem in keeping the baby warm enough, mentioning the hot water bottle, that the baby could easily die if it got chills. I also told them of the 2-year-old sister who was crying because her mother had died. During prayer time, one 10-year-old girl by the name of Ruth prayed with the usual blunt conciseness of her African children. Please God, she prayed, send us a hot water bottle today. It'll be no good tomorrow. God, as the baby will be dead, so please send it this afternoon. While I gasped inwardly at the audacity of the prayer, she added, and while you are about it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so she will know that you really love her. As often with children's prayers, I was put on the spot. Could I honestly say amen? I just did not believe that God could do this. Oh yes, I know he can do everything, the Bible says so, but there are limits, aren't they? The only way God could answer this particular prayer would be by sending me a parcel from the homeland. I have been in Africa for almost 4 years, and at that time, I had never, ever received a parcel from home. Anyway, if anyone did send me a parcel, who would put in a hot water bottle? I lived on the equator. Halfway through the afternoon, while I was teaching at the nurses' training school, a message was sent that there was a car in front of our door. By the time I reached home, the car was gone, and there on the veranda, a large 22-pound parcel. I felt tears pricking my eyes. I could not open the parcel alone, so I sent for the orphanage children. Together, we pulled out the string, carefully undoing each knot. We folded the paper, taking care not to tear it unduly. Excitement was mounting. Some 30 or 40 pairs of eyes were focused on this large cardboard box. From the top, I lifted out brightly colored knitted jerseys. Eyes sparkled as I gave them out. Then there were knitted bandages for the leprosy patients, and the children looked a little bored. Then came a box of mixed raisins and sultanas that would make a bunch of buns for the weekend. And then, as I put my hand in again, I felt the... Could it really be? I grasped it and pulled it out. Yes, a brand new rubber hot water bottle. I cried. I had not asked God to send it. I had not truly believed that he could. Ruth was in the front row of the children. She rushed forward crying out, if God has sent the bottle, he must have sent the dolly too. Rummaging through the bottom of the box, she pulled out a small, beautifully dressed doll. Her eyes shone. She could never have doubted. Looking at me, she asked, "Can I go over with you and give this dolly to that little girl so she will know that Jesus really loves her?" "Of course," I replied. The parcel had been on the way for 5 whole months, packed by my former Sunday school class, whose leader had heard and obeyed God's prompting to send a hot water bottle even to the equator. And one of the girls had put a dolly for an African child 5 months before in answer to the believing prayer of a 10-year-old to bring it that afternoon. The power of prayer. The power of God who answers our prayer. In Isaiah, there is a verse which is truly pertinent to this story. "Before they call, I will answer." Adrian Rogers has once said that prayer is the greatest Christian privilege. It is the greatest Christian service, and it is the greatest Christian failure. I firmly believe that many churches are struggling because we have forgotten the power of prayer. Over the last 21 days, while I was fasting and waiting on the Lord put in my heart that prayer is powerful. Prayer is answerable, and God will answer our prayers if we are willing to put our faith in God. Amen. Can you trust with me and say amen? Amen. God will answer your prayers. Amen. God loves you, as we heard, a loving father who loves his children, and before we ask of the Lord, he will answer our prayers. Hallelujah. Do you know why we don't have many of the things in our life? James chapter 4 verse 2 tells us, "You have not because you ask not." We fail to ask God. We fail to go to the throne room of God and ask, "Lord, can I have this to glorify you?" Many of our prayers are only for our benefit, our joy, our satisfaction, our comfort, and we do not care about the will of God. But God says, "Come to me and know my will and pray for it, and God will answer you." What would happen if each of you would make a mind to pray earnestly that God's will be done, not only in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of my church, in the life of my community. Just imagine what God would do. Amen. If God hears the prayer of a little girl in Africa and God specifically answers it that very day, how much more is a God we are serving who is going to answer our prayers? I hope some of us who have stepped out in faith know that you have taken the right step. God will take care of you. And this is what I can tell you from the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we look at the Lord's Prayer today, I want to give you 3 things that you should consider. There are 3 things, very, very important. And I hope that you will understand the meaning of the prayer here. Very simple, but very profound. Number one, the first thing is, consider the person we are praying to. Who is the person we are praying to? When we come to verse number 9, Jesus says, he did not say, "Pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob." Jesus said, "Therefore pray, our Father in heaven." He is our heavenly Father. He has a legitimate authority over us. He has a personal relationship with us. He cares about our problems. He cares about our need. Just like an earthly father, and I can relate to it, I care about the needs of my children. When they come to me and for anything, I am quick to give it to them because I am an earthly father. If I can give good things to my children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the things that you need and the things that you want from the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we go astray, he will discipline us also because he is a father. Number 2, about the father, let me tell you, not only he is a heavenly father, the second point I want you to consider is that he is holy God. He is holy in nature. As Jesus taught us, he said, "Let your name be holy
Hallowed be your name. You know, in the biblical times, a person's name signifies a person's character. God's name is a holy God. His name is holy. God said, I am holy, therefore you should be holy. I, your Father, am holy, therefore you should be holy. And so when we say, Lord, let your name be holy, it means that we are giving the attribute of the character to the Lord. He is holy. And then the third thing I want to also tell is that He is sovereign in power. What does it say? Your kingdom come. Not only he is a Father, He is a holy God, but He is also a King. And He is setting up His kingdom. So when we know that our Father is setting up His kingdom, our desire is that we would fulfill the plan of our King, that He is sovereign. Our desire, His, we should desire His plan over our own plan. Amen. Because His sovereignty is because He is in control. Today, whatever happens in your life, brothers and sisters, as a servant of God, let me tell you, God is seated on the throne. He is not surprised at what is happening, and He is in control. How many can say amen?
Amen.
God is in control.
Amen.
He is a victor God, and greater is He who is in me than in the world. So don't get dismayed. He is in control. So the first thing I wanted to consider is the person that we are praying to. The second thing I want you to consider are the principles of prayer. I will give you very quickly about three principles that are very important. Number one, in the principles of prayer, first is that our prayer acknowledges the provision of God. You know, when we come to verse number 11 here, it says, give us this day our daily bread. You know what it means? It is means this daily bread. Why did Jesus say, give us this day our daily bread? This is very much in line with the bread that God gave to the children of Israel as they were in the wilderness. Every day in the morning, God would pour out the manna that they could go and pick it up from outside the tent to sustain them for that particular day. Give us this day our daily bread means God will take care of our needs on a physical way, but also on a spiritual way. Because in the Word of God, the bread is often connected with the Word of God. So as a child of God, let me tell you, every day. And children, remember this. This is a very important thing if you can discipline your life every day in the morning. When you get up, go to the Lord in prayer. And when you pray, say, Lord, give us this day, give me today my daily bread, which is not only the sustenance for your body, but God will give you a word that He will speak to you. Daily. Don't look for a verse to recite on a Sunday, on a Saturday night. Oh, which verse? Otherwise, somebody may think, no. Every day, make a point to read the Word of God. I'm not saying that you take a long time, at least 5 minutes. Take a point to read and have a personal devotion before God. These days, I know a few days, God, I woke up in my heart and God would really inspire me. And I wrote a few, what I call it, my musings, you know. I found it from the Psalms and I wrote it as my musings in the morning. But I don't know, I believe some of you never read it. That's fine with me. I didn't get any this one. I was looking for it. No one would give me this. But everyone would give this for something else. I never got. So I got the hint. I got the message. And I said, okay, I will stop doing it. I don't want to flood the WhatsApp with messages. You know, you are getting so many other messages about that thing and this thing. And, you know, this is what it is. But I felt in a few days when I was praying in the morning, God would give me a word that I would want to share with the people. And the first people that I used to send is to our family. Probably I may take a step back and not do it because I know you all may not be too much happy about it. But that's fine with me. God is a good God. In the morning, children, get a word from the Lord. God will direct your path. Especially young people who are going into college, you need God more than ever. When you step into a college, in a university, the things are so bad that unless you have the grace of God, unless you have God leading you,
you are going to go into depravity and sin. It is so easy to sin in a high school. It is so easy to sin in a college time. It is so easy, much more easy than any one of us who are the older generation can ever realize back in India, where we did not have a chance to do all these sins. But today, the young people are bombarded each and every moment as they look with messages from the world, with attractions from the world, with temptations from the world, and they need the grace of God each and every day. Hallelujah. And for you as young people, you can cleanse your heart before the Lord by leaning on to the word of God. Psalms 119, you start reading it and says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. If you want to cleanse your way, if you want to lead your way according to the way that God wants you to, come to the presence of God in prayer. Ask, Lord God, give me my bread for today. Give me my manna for today. And God will give you a word in season that you can move forward. Hallelujah. The prayer acknowledges the provision of God. He will provide for you, not only your physical needs, but also for your spiritual needs, your emotional needs. Number two, the prayer relies on God's mercy. You know, many times we do not know how to pray. And I'm not just saying it. Romans chapter 8, when you read verses 26, tells us that. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. We really do not know what we should pray for. But it says, God in His greatness, His Holy Spirit helps us to pray, not only helping us to pray, but He Himself, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He makes intercession for us. And so, it is His mercy. It relies on God's mercy. And we need to seek forgiveness from the Lord. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, it's not here. But let me tell you that it says, my little children, I write to you that you may not sin, but if you sin, we have an advocate to the Father, Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. He is sitting and is an advocate. He is mediating for us and He is praying over us. When we are in distress, Jesus is praying for us. Just like He prayed for Peter. When Jesus was on the earth, He said, I prayed for you, Peter, that Satan will not sift you as wheat. Today, you are standing stable and you are walking aright and you are doing your work because Jesus is praying for you daily before God the Father. He is interceding for you, and remember that He is the one who will help you through your kind of weakness. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. When we repent before the Lord, God is faithful to forgive us. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. The third thing I want to also to tell you is that prayer looks for protection from God. It seeks the protection of God. There are two kind of protections that we need each and every time. Number one, as I mentioned, from temptation. This is a very, very crucial time that we understand. We get tempted. And in James chapter 1 verse 13 onwards it says, let nobody say that I am tempted by God, because God cannot be tempted by evil and He does not tempt anybody. But when we are tempted when we are drawn away by our own desires, we get enticed. When desire conceives, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. But God says, that's, we will be tempted. But then the second thing is that God does not tempt anyone. Just that we read James chapter 1 verse 13 onwards. But then God promises to make a way of escape. When we are tempted, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you which is common to man, but God is faithful. Amen. How many can repeat? God is faithful. Repeat after me. God is faithful. When we is tempted, He will not allow us to be tempted more than we are able. But with the temptation, He makes a way to escape that we can bear it. God will help us to and escape temptations. Just like He helped Joseph to escape the temptation in Potiphar's house. He would have fallen and ruined his life. But God allowed him to run away. And God allowed him to be escaped. In the similar manner, when we are tempted, ask God, Lord, I need your help. And Lord, I know you don't tempt, but I am getting tempted when I am enticed by my desires. But Lord, give me a way to escape. Hallelujah. So the first thing is that we need protection from temptation. The second thing is we need temptation from evil or from the evil one. In your Bible, it may either you may read it as deliver us from evil or deliver us from the evil one. Either way it is correct, because the evil one is evil. There's no two things about it. Satan is the evil one. And First Peter, Peter warns us that the devil is out to devour us. He is coming to swallow us. He will not let us come forward. He is, First Peter chapter 5 verse 8, we read, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Every day when you walk out there, especially children, when you walk out to your schools, understand that you are confronting with an enemy that you cannot see, but he is trying to tempt you and devour you. And what we need to do? We need to resist to the devil and submit to God. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9 says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We need to resist the devil. We need to know that there is a devil out there, but then God is going to protect us. And then, number four is prayer. No, I told the number. The first one is that prayer relies on God's mercy. Prayer acknowledges God's provision. Prayer relies on God's mercy. Prayer seeks God's protection. The fourth and the final one, prayer promotes glory to God. When we pray, we exalt God. That is what we do. And that is why in Matthew chapter 6 verse 6, Jesus said, when you pray, don't stand out and pray for other people to appreciate you. Go into your room and pray that God, your Heavenly Father, when He sees you in secret, He will reward you openly. And so because we want to give, let God give the glory. You know, God will not share His glory. Jesus warns us against praying to exalt ourselves. Matthew 6:6. And then He says, God shares His glory with no one. He will not share His glory with anybody. Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. God will not share His glory. So we went into the two aspects, if you remember, among the three things. One, consider the person we are praying to. Number two was, consider the principles of prayer. And I come to the last one, which is, consider the proviso of prayer. Consider the proviso of prayer. Proviso means that word. I thought it was a mistake. I thought it was provision. And I looked at and it said no. Proviso means it's a condition attached to an agreement. There is a condition. There is a conditional clause. Okay. All of this, the previous ones were having no conditions. But now we come to a clause which has a condition. What is the condition? And let's look at that. We must forgive other people of their trespasses. Our willingness to forgive flows from the fact that we have been forgiven. That's how we forgive. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let me tell to the brothers and sisters sitting here, if you cannot forgive somebody who has done something wrong about you or wrong to you, remember, this is what the word of God is speaking to you. Consider, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If you are not able to obey God's commandment, we need to examine our heart and see, are we truly saved? Or are we saying that we are born again? Because the sign of a saved person is, you will do the will of the Father. Christ says, I forgave you. You need to forgive other people. Now the question is, what happens when we refuse to forgive? Because there may be in your mind, I can never forgive that person. Some people have said, I can forget him, but I can never forgive him. That forgiveness cannot come. Let me tell you, if you refuse, what happens? It's a serious offense against God. Refusal. If you don't forgive, it's a serious offense against God. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18 and verses 21 to 35. It's a long parable. I will give you a gist and a nutshell, and I'm going to close here. As my time is up here, I'm going to close. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said not 7, but up to 70 times 7. And then he told an example. He told a parable that you can go back home and read in this portion. He told about a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And one of them had owed him 10,000 talents. And the servant fell at the feet of the king and said, Master, please, I will pay you. Have patience upon me. The master had compassion on that servant, forgive everything that the servant owed, and he said, you go ahead, you are released from your debt, you can go free. This servant, as he was walking along the road, he found one of the servants, the fellow servants, who owed him 100 denarii, which is like, you cannot compare what he has been forgiven, what this little sum this man is owing him, 10,000 owed him 100 denarii. And what happened? This servant, he laid his hand on him, took him by the throat and said, pay me till you owe. And then, you know, this man fell at his feet exactly as he fell at the king's feet and said, have patience with me, I'll pay you everything. But he would not. He would not. He would not forgive. He went and threw him in the prison till he should pay the debt. When the fellow servants heard this, they complained to the king. The king told that servant, you wicked servant, I forgave you for all the debts that you had. You do not have compassion to forgive and have pity on somebody who owes you a little money. And then he said, the master was angry and he delivered him to the torturers until he paid all that was due to him. And then Jesus at the end of this parable is saying like this, so my heavenly Father will do to each of you if you do not forgive your brother her trespasses. Let me tell you this. If you refuse to forgive, number one, God will punish you for refusing to forgive the other person. Number two, you will retain the guilt of your sins. And number three, God is not going to answer your prayers. I want to end in this sober note, as you see here in verse number 14. If you forgive others their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive them their trespasses. And some of us, I know for sure that in your heart of hearts, you have been wounded. You have been really feeling down, but you need to get above it and forgive. Why? For the only reason that Jesus has forgiven you. Because God has forgiven you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just stand up in our feet right now? As we look to the Lord, I want you to all close your eyes and bend your, hallelujah, and just bow your heads for a moment. I want us all, as we are going to sing one final song, and as we sing, I want you to truly speak to God. Can you just talk to Him? You know to whom that we are praying for. Know to whose presence we are coming and praying for. Can you all just ask the Lord at this moment as we are closing this prayer? Lord, if there is anything that somebody that is bothering me in my heart, Lord, help me to go out and forgive that person openly. Because God, you are a true God and you are a prayer answering God. Even before we call, our God will answer us. Even before we say Abba, God is going to answer us of our prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can God transform us when we pray like this? Can God transform us when we use the principles and know that whom are we praying to and know the wonderful God who is able to do mighty things for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just hallelujah, ask the Lord, Lord, help my prayer life, strengthen my prayer life as I move forward in my next week. Lord, help me to hear your word. Give me my daily bread, Lord. Lord, as I sit in your presence in the morning, help me to hear from you and help me to do what you want. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lift up your hands to the Lord right at this moment. And just pray to the Lord. Lord, I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I need you to, Father, Lord, move forward, Father, Lord, to have an intimacy with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.